So hello and welcome to my final sort of Today at EULA reflection on day three. I don't really know how I'm going to keep this one under 10 minutes because there was so much that was fitted in today. I'm very tired. My brain isn't working probably like it was at the start of the week. So apologies if this isn't as coherent as earlier podcast episodes. Before I get into today though, thank you for everyone that sent me messages. Like, that really surprised me. You do these things and you chuck it out there into the void in the hope that someone somewhere gets something from it. So to have so many messages coming back from people that have been following, particularly patients, really means a lot. So yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's nice to know it benefits someone. So yeah, day three, you're like, oh, and I've got a bit of a cold, obviously. Who doesn't when they do these travel and conference things, interacting with hundreds of people, shaking hundreds of hands. So excuse the sniffling through this. So yeah, day three. It was a busy one. So obviously we had a really good day two. Day three wasn't so meeting heavy. We'd done a lot of the stuff we'd needed to do around the IFPA awareness project for psoriatic arthritis and the GRAPPA guidelines. But it was really refreshing when the first sort of talk I went to the day was Laurie Grosek on the subject of psoriatic arthritis and treatment of psoriatic arthritis. And anyone who followed on Twitter will know how engaged I was with that talk by the sheer amount of things. Literally everything she was saying. Laurie Grosek, I hope I pronounced that right. Everything she was saying was like appealing to me with my sort of psoriatic arthritis hat on. It was just beautifully presented. So yeah, go check out my Twitter. It's at Joel versus arthritis vs arthritis. To see some of those slides. But you know, she spoke about things like widespread pain syndrome affects 20% of PSA patients. I didn't know that. That was new to me, and widespread pain syndrome is something I need to do a bit more reading up on. I've just always described my constant pain that I've had since a failed biologic to biosimilar switch in 2019 as just like neurological pain, or some doctors call it CRPS or whatever. But there's something there I need to go look at, because from personal experience I'd like to know more around that subject. So it was really like a really powerful slide as well. And the other one that she talked about, she used the words, please don't neglect comorbidity risk factors. Our patients die more. And that was like, you know, it's quite shocking, but it kind of needs to be for the audience when you think you're dealing with a medical community. It's not patients here, it's a medical community. She talked about how there was 10% reduced life expectancy in PSA patients, which was like, I thought, a really powerful reminder to doctors about comorbidities, because we know it's not talked about enough. You know, from a patient and advocacy perspective, we know it's not talked about enough. And she went into detail about things like, you know, cardiovascular disease and things we know about around, you know, with that. But she also talked about obesity, and obesity's been a real strong theme hit this year at EULA with PSA, which is really refreshing to see, because we've been trying to get that on the agenda for a while. But I say, throughout the presentation, she referred to the GRAPPA guidelines, which is music to our ears, because obviously we've been here this week trying to promote the new GRAPPA treatment guidelines as part of the IFPA psoriatic awareness project, which I really should put a link in the show notes. I'll try and remember to do that today, guys. Obviously I'm rushing around all the while. Where you can go and find information about that project. So that was really refreshing, not just the comorbidity ones, but also to mention those guidelines that we're trying to promote as well. And she sort of said things like, you know, not just like our patients die more than powerful sort of short, strong statements, but to remind you that comorbidities are extremely frequent in psoriatic arthritis. Like, and as someone like from personal experience who lived with like high cholesterol for years, and I mean like over a decade, before my GP told me about the link to psoriatic disease, you know, my GP, not my dermatologist, not my rheumatologist, not my specialists, nobody told me about the comorbidities associated with psoriatic disease. And we know they're really strong links, particularly to cardiovascular disease, obesity. We've learned this week already, obesity in men seems to be higher than obesity in females. And you know, nobody told me this stuff, and I lived with psoriatic disease for like 15 odd years before a GP, a primary physician, mentioned that the reason I probably have high cholesterol constant, and I mean like when I was a 10 stone rugby player running up and down the wing every week, to being slightly overweight now, my cholesterol level does not change. It's always been high, it's always been elevated since I got psoriasis. So yeah, that was nice to see somebody. And this auditorium, by the way, guys, was packed. I mean, it was the biggest auditorium at EULA, and it was heaven. So lots of ears heard this one. Unlike earlier in the week, where I've talked about the frustration of important messages getting missed because we're preaching to the converted. There were so many people here to hear Laurie talk. And as someone I'm going to try and reach out to, because it's not somebody I've come across before. I've not worked with her before. But yeah, she seemed to be speaking our language, which was awesome. And she also, again, talking about speaking our language, she mentioned, you know, IBD and uveitis, and think these sort of like sort of secondary conditions alongside psoriatic arthritis as part of psoriatic arthritis, and that just doesn't get happen. You know, my DMs, the amount of times I get people say nobody takes my IBD seriously as part of my psoriatic arthritis, as part of my psoriatic disease. You know, uveitis is almost seen as like a secondary symptom rather than being just like this, you know, this thing that's a part of it. So that was really, really refreshing. And like I say, to keep talking back to the GRAPPA guidelines was really nice. There were some other little bits that come out of that talk, things like there's no specific worrying data around JAK inhibitors, because lots of the data gathered for JAK inhibitors is for RA use, rheumatoid arthritis use. But she was basically saying in PSA, we're not seeing anything that's sort of like concerning with that. And she opened the session by celebrating just how lucky we are, like with the amount of PSA treatments, like so many new drugs. There's a slide on my Twitter, go have a look on that. There's a slide there that shows just how many new treatment options have come on board since 2019, which is amazing. So yeah, there's hope there in terms of like treatment options for PSA, which was good. And then two last sort of like little one of three little last little bits, she's also talked about there was limited data on methotrexate efficacy in PSA, and we know that doesn't tend to sort of be used heavily as an option in PSA, but and also the NSAIDs don't have NSAIDs, however you want to pronounce it, non-steroid and inflammatory drugs, they don't have a limited place as a monotherapy in PSA. And I must stress, she was talking about monotherapies here. We know they have a place as secondary options and everything else, but ultimately, because NSAIDs particularly cause issues, I think it's around like cardiovascular issues, and now that we know there's that strong link of cardiovascular and PSA, you know, it's probably not wise to be using that as a monotherapy. So you know, that might work for others, for some, where other options don't, but yeah, she was saying that as a monotherapy, that's probably not an effective approach. She did sort of then go back and reinstate around the methotrexate one that does have a place in peripheral psoriatic arthritis, but the dose might need to be higher for you to actually achieve the results you want. And this sort of links in again to what we've been doing with the IFPA project and the GRAPPA treatment guidelines and treat to target. There's no point a rheumatologist giving them their stock methotrexate dose if in PSA it needs to be higher. You know, think about what the result you want to get, not what the sort of tick box sort of default option is. So, really, really awesome. And sorry, that's probably the most scientific heavy I've gone into on these three podcasts. And just a usual reminder, I'm not medically trained, I'm not a doctor, I don't claim to be, I'm just a patient advocate talking about lived experience. So any sort of medical science stuff I talk about here, it purely is me just repeating what I've heard. It's not I have no expert opinion, far from it. And then, yeah, finally, I suppose, a couple of other little bits. I finally got to meet my absolute hero, Barbara Bohanan, Swedish psoriasis advocate and absolute superstar in that space. Had an awesome couple of hours spent with her, learning a lot. She gave me so much advice. I'm like seeing her as my new mentor. Like so much advice on advocacy, which was great. Got to meet her. I got to meet the people behind Creaky Joints, which was really cool, to see how that all fits together and how that works and maybe what we can do in the future. There were other people I met. I should stop naming who I've met because I'm going to forget people and then they're going to feel like they're left out. But there we go. So lots happened yesterday and I'm tired and I've probably forgotten more than I've told you. But yeah, really interesting day. I must admit that session by Laurie Gosset. I'm worried I keep pronouncing people's names wrong. Let me double check. Laurie Gosset, sorry. It's been a long week. That really re-energized me because I'd had a couple of days where it's like people not getting the patient contribution bit, people not getting it's a two-way conversation, constant repeated discussions about the massive gap and void between rheumatologists and dermatologists. Now do we bring them together? people not really, you know, getting the comorbidity thing. It was just depressing. So then to hear a talk which basically focused all on GRAPPA treatment guidelines, comorbidities, treatment options, I needed that. I needed that. So guys, I will be heading off home on Saturday. I won't be popping into the Congress on Saturday morning. I'll be heading to the airport. I hope you've enjoyed these. There will be a wrap-up video. We'll do a live stream or something on YouTube, guys, so check out that. If you just go onto YouTube or Twitch or wherever and just go Joel versus Arthritis, J-O-E-L-V-S, Arthritis, all one word, you will find the channels. I'll put some links as well in the notes. We will do a little video where we'll do a live chat about it and you guys can ask questions. It won't be our usual Sunday night slot. I'm going to be dead by the time we get home tonight. But maybe Monday night. Maybe Monday night, guys. In fact, let's say Monday night. I should really be checking my diary at this point to make sure I don't have a clash. We'll say double checking. Monday night, we will be live over on Twitch and we'll have a chat about everything. And if you want to get involved in that and ask questions or engage, then please do. Thank you so much for listening to these three little special mini episodes. Really do appreciate it. It's been great fun recording them. If not just processing everything that I crammed into ridiculously long days. So have a good one, guys. Take care of yourselves, and I will be back with regular podcasts going forward shortly. Bye bye.